I'm going to ask just to you give me some attention for about 10, 12 minutes here as we wrap up our time, and we're going to close with a song as well. For some of you, it may feel like an eternity, but it may change your eternity. You never know. So just be open to that, I would ask. How many fathers here have ever had this happen to them? They think of pulling this practical joke on their family, and they think it through and think, this will be so fun, this will be so amazing, and then and after you got into it, you realized it wasn't a good idea. Any fathers like that? Yeah, me neither. So my family, one of the things we like to do in the summertime is we like to camp. And so we went in 2011, I think it was, we were living in Saskatchewan, and we went to this place 10 hours south of there in South Dakota called Rush No More Camping. Anyone ever been there? We went to Mount Rushmore and Crazy Horse and Custer State Park and the Badlands. And anyone ever been to like Sturgis? A few of you have been there, okay? And so this is my kids when they were real small here. They were cute here. And this is the camping area here. And we did we do like the real camping, not the glamping here. How many are into the glamping? Yeah, okay. So we did the real camping here, okay? So when we show up at this campsite. We were in Bible school at the time, so we had next to no money, and so this was a cheap vacation for us. It was $20 a night. What a deal. And we show up to this campsite, and I said, okay, we booked this campsite online, and we were tenters, and they kind of look at you weird, like who actually camps in a tent nowadays, you know? And so they said, here's your camping spot. Out here. It's not even off. Like way back in the woods, okay? All around here is where the glampers are, and there's the pool and all the fun stuff around here, but you guys are way up here in the woods. No lights, no anything. Just all the amenities are down here. It's like you guys are an afterthought, and there's not even campsites in there. You could just kind of find a spot in the woods, pitch your tent, and that's where we did. We pitched our tent, found our spot in the woods, and there's the real glampers down there, and we're up in the trees. And one of these nights, I decide, brilliantly as a father, that I am going to pull a practical joke on my family. So it's dark. You can see our little campsite there, a little lantern right there next to between my two kids. And my wife and my kids went to the washroom, you know, before bedtime to use the washroom, brush your teeth and things. And I stayed at the campsite, and I turned the lantern down a little bit, so it was just a little bit of glow. And I walked down into the woods, and I hide by the trees, and you know where that's coming, right? On the trail on the way back, and I can hear them coming, and they have this little flashlight, this little piddly flashlight. And they're walking along, and the kids are just right next to Erica, and they're a little scared, and something came over me, and they're coming really close, and I go like this, and then they stop and they freeze. What was that? And then in a moment of sheer brilliance as a father, I do this, right? And I jump out at them. And they were absolutely terrified. In fact, I think my son said, that was an epic fail, Dad. So fathers sometimes don't think things through. I thought it was fun. They didn't share my sense of humor. You know, the darkness, it can be scary, it can be frustrating. It can be confusing sometimes, and it can be a bit eerie, right? We're all born with this instinctive fear in the dark, of the dark. But the Bible says that our world is full of darkness and that Jesus came as light of the world, which we just talked about. And in fact, that's the verse that my wife just read. I am the light of the world. Jesus is saying this. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Did you know that there's something really special and significant going on in Jerusalem? The place where Jesus said this made it even more significant than just saying, I'm the light of the world. There's something really cool going on. If you back up into John chapter 7, it says there's this festival going on. The Jewish festival of the tabernacles was near, and it was not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go to the temple courts and begin to teach. So it's in the middle of this festival of tabernacles, or how many? It's called the Festival of Booths, B-O-O-T-H-S. It was a Jewish festival, and they still keep it today. Jews still keep it today. And there's two very significant things that they do to celebrate the Festival of Tabernacles or the Festival of Booths: forts and fire. They literally, for 1 week throughout the year, they will build a little fort in their backyard, much like this. This is a modern-day way to celebrate it. But in olden days, they would build a little fort. They would build literally go camping the old-fashioned way, like we did, in a tent, in their backyard for a whole week. And you know why? It was to help them remember a time back when their ancestors were for 40 years in the wilderness, wandering around, living in tents, and God provided for them. So it was this very tactile way of learning. For a week, they lived in a tent, and they remembered that God provided for their ancestors when we were disobedient and we had to walk around for 40 years. But not only was there forts, but there was also fire. Now, in biblical times, back in Jesus' day, if you wanted to have light at night, did you turn on light bulbs? No, you had to do something like this, right? In fact, today, if you were to go up into space at night and take a picture of North America, that's what it looks like. That's your population. That's all your city centers. I don't know, can you see Edmonton up here somewhere? You know, we know this. We can see Edmonton from afar when we're driving into Edmonton, 20 minutes away. You can see the glow of the city. But if you were somehow able to take a picture of the planet back in biblical times at night from the sky, it would look very different. Now, it wasn't North America, it would be way over in Asia over there, in Israel, but there might be a very few small flickers of light in Rome, maybe in Jerusalem, maybe just a few hours in the evening, they would light some significant streets with torches. Light in those days was very precious, expensive, and hard to produce at night, okay? Not like us, where we go in and we turn on the light, and the lights are everywhere, and we have street lights all over the place, and our dads are always telling us, turn off the lights, the money doesn't grow on trees, right? How many dads are like that? Yeah, okay. But in Jesus' day, if you wanted to produce light, it had to be fire, and it was really hard to produce, and it was expensive, and it was valuable, okay? And so what they would do during this festival of tabernacles and booths, they would each night sleep in a tent, and then before they went to bed, they would come to the temple in Jerusalem. And they would have these huge, huge four candlesticks. And I'm talking 75 feet high. 1, 2, 3, 4. With these four cauldrons, four kiddie pools of oil. 75 feet is probably almost as high as that pea plant over there across from the road, okay? So you have four of those, and so you have 16 kiddie pool fools of oil, and they would light these things at night. And it would light up, and that's kind of a rendition of what it could look like in the temple during the Festival of Tabernacles. It would have been the largest and most amazing spectacle of light in darkness that the people in Jesus' day would have ever, ever seen. And do you know where Jesus says his statement, I am the light of the world? A few verses later, it says this. John notes, he spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. You know where that was? Right in there. So here Jesus is, probably in the daytime, but people catch the significance as well. In this huge display of light that the world had, that they would ever know of light and darkness. And he says, I am the light of not just the temple, not just Jerusalem, not just of Israel. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You see, Jesus is saying that this world is full of darkness. There's darkness inside of you and there's darkness inside of me. It's called sin. You know, this gift that Jesus came to give us of light in darkness is a very humbling gift to receive. Now imagine with me, for a moment, that tomorrow morning you were to wake up and open some gifts, okay? Many of you are going to do that. And let's pretend that all you wanted for Christmas were some books. You like to read, and that's all you wanted for Christmas. You told your friends and your family, I just want some books. And so you open up your very first gift tomorrow morning, and it's this. Humor analysis for dummies. And you think, okay, maybe people don't like my knock-knock jokes, but okay, I'll take that. That's a little bit humbling, but people wanted me to be a little more funny in life. But then you open up your second gift, and it says this, driving for dummies. And you think, maybe I didn't use my turn signal, and maybe I know some people in town that could use this, but maybe that's me. It says it takes 108,460 bolts to assemble an automobile and one nut to scatter it all over the road. Maybe that's me, okay? And then you open your second gift, and it's etiquette for dummies, saying please and thank you. Okay, so maybe I'm not funny, and maybe I don't know how to drive, and I don't say please and thank you. Okay, that's a little bit hard to receive. But then you open your next one, and it's from your wife, and it says relationships for dummies, and you're like, maybe I'm missing something here. And then your next one is dieting for dummies. Okay, now that's a hard to receive. But then the last one is being a decent human being for dummies. Now, I think every single one of those would take a lot of humility to receive. But here's the thing. To accept Jesus as light of the world takes even more humility than that. Because it means that we need to admit that we have this darkness and sin within our own heart. And the only way to get rid of that darkness is to turn on a light. How do you get darkness out of a room? Do you scream? Do you box it all up? Do you chase it with a broomstick and say, get out of here? No, you turn on a light. That's how you get darkness out of a room. And that's the only way to get darkness out of our heart is to have this light from outside, Jesus, come into our hearts. I think even as families, we know that at Christmas time, this sense of darkness, you know as your family, when you come together, that you see the darkness within each other's hearts and you grate on one another. You can see that. And sometimes when you come together as family, even at Christmas time, you put on a nice face, but sometimes you're only one compliment wrapped in an insult wrapped in a compliment away from a powder keg going off, right? You know that. My family is just like that too. But sometimes at Christmas time, you can be like, I'll put on the brave face, but you know that there's a darkness in your family. One thing about me that you need to know is that I hate mayonnaise. I absolutely hate mayonnaise. I hate mayonnaise and I hate cream cheese. Is anyone else with me on this? It is very weird, I understand. But when anyone ever finds out that I don't like mayonnaise, it's usually a topic of conversation for about 5, 10, 15 minutes because it's such a weird thing and people talk about it. And usually I can tolerate it in normal circumstances. But one time, a few Christmases ago, my family started to get on me about this, okay? It was at Christmas time. We're sitting there having turkey, and my family goes, oh, Brent, you don't like mayonnaise. What's wrong with you? And they just started digging. You know how families, you can just start saying those subtle digging things, and they get right under your skin, and they know, and you know it. It's this compliment wrapped in an insult, and they started doing it, and it kept going, and I couldn't change the topic. And finally, I said, I'm going to light this powder keg. And I stood up, and here's what I said, to my shame. I said, has anyone here looked in a mirror? I am the most physically fit person here. I challenge any one of you to a race out there. I'll run 2 laps to your one. Maybe you guys should be concerned about what you put in your pie hole too. Oh, that calmed it right down. Darkness, right? Darkness in my heart. Darkness in their heart. Darkness in all of our hearts. And Jesus came, and that's what we remember at Christmas time, that Jesus came to shine a light in our hearts and dispel the darkness. My question for you is this. Have you asked Jesus to shine his light into your darkness? You see, Christmas is about sin. Christmas is about Jesus' light shining his darkness into our sinful world. We can say Christmas is about presents, Christmas is about decorations, Christmas is about Santa, and the world will tell us that. It's not even about shepherds and wise men and mangers. Christmas is about sin. God coming to this earth to deal with the problem of our sin. Have you let Jesus shine his light into your darkness? Let's pray. God, thank you for this time of year, where at Christmas time we can remember that you came as light into our world. Thank you, Lord, for taking our sin away because of what you've done for us on the cross. I pray, Father, that for our blessing over these families here today, that they would know you in a powerful way this Christmas season, that your light would shine brightly into each one of their families and each one of their lives. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.